Hey everyone, welcome back to Sports in the Mitten. My name is Thomas Bendit here with Adam Biggers. It is Wednesday night, September 13th, getting ready for some Michigan Air Force. And how's it going tonight, Adam?
Everything's going well, Thomas. I'm going to add you on right now. If you guys can't tell, Thomas has his acoustic guitar out. He's playing a little on his electric. He nailed Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. So we're going to try to get him to play a little bit for us tonight. At some point, we're going to talk Michigan versus Air Force. For those who joined me earlier in the day, we'll revisit some of the topics on the Michigan defense. Thomas, I think the stats are there. I know it's two games, but if we look at the body of work as a whole, and there's a common denominator there, and it's Greg Madison, who was defensive coordinator, now he's defensive line coach. But Michigan's defense, we've talked about this a few times. If there's something to buy into right now, right this minute, it's Michigan's defense. I'm bought into this. I'm head first. And I don't dive, and I don't really like to swim. I'm diving in head first right now on Michigan's defense, Thomas. And I'll cite some reasons why. We'll take some of your guys' questions tonight from the live stream. If they're there, I think, Thomas, you'll be able to moderate those because I don't think I could see them on my end. If you guys want to hit us with questions on Twitter, at Adam Biggers 81, at T Bendit.
Sorry, just pulling up the YouTube here. But
there we go. Yeah,
Adam, I'm with you as far as where I think the team's sitting. I think the defense has acquitted itself very well to start this season. I think obviously the offense has its question marks. Certainly the turnovers have been a pretty big issue over the first 2 weeks, but you know, still early. We'll see if they can get those into shape. And the special teams, I feel like has been great, and it's also been pretty rough in spurts. The good news is, you know, as we were talking about on Sunday's show, that you know, some of those are just small errors that they're going to fix. I mean, you know the issues with Donovan Peoples-Jones last weekend, maybe fair catching it versus, you know, trying to make a play, things like that, minor issues, I think will fix themselves here over the next month or two. But I think the pressure is going to be on Spate this weekend. The pressure is going to be on the offense to sort of get things back on track. I mean, I wouldn't say they've been terrible or anything like that, but I think certainly fans had hoped that things would look a little smoother play by play than it has. And we'll see if they can get it together, but I'm very interested to see this weekend. Adam, obviously the big thing to watch is going to be how the defense, performs against that triple option offense for Air Force. Any thoughts on that? Any predictions as far as how you see that going?
Yeah, and go back to your comment real quick. A month or two, a week or two. Michigan can't wait a month or two. This stuff needs to be ironed out within the next week or two. I'm just looking – just looking at numbers, and I thought that Michigan was pretty impressive against Florida, running the ball 49 times. That's a way to grind a defense. That's certainly a way. I mean, we saw some rotation there at linebacker and defensive line. But I'm looking at Air Force versus VMI, the Cadets, 62-0 win. Just look at this box score. I feel like you don't even have to watch the game. I've watched a little bit of film. Highlights, I plan on watching some more, but Thomas, they ran the ball 67 times for 457 yards. Yeah, it's VMI. It's not Michigan. I don't care who you are. You run the ball 67 times for 457 yards. You're a problem. Michigan's defense, I think this game is really going to test some of the boundaries of Michigan's defense. A, it's going to test the endurance and stamina of these guys. It's going to test the depth, you know, because, again, like I said, it's going to wear down the starters. I think we're going to see a little bit of rotation in at D-line a little bit just to keep it fresh. I don't know so much. At linebacker, I think we know who to expect when it's not Noah, when it's not Mike McCray, when it's not Devin Bush. You'll see Devin Gillon there. When I just on paper, looking at this game, and like I said, I think it does. It's one of those that's going to test the boundaries of Michigan's defense. And I don't want to repeat myself here, but yeah, VMI, the statistics, though, don't lie for Air Force. I mean, you're 62 to nothing, 647 total yards. They're going to do something.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to do something against Michigan. There's something there that's going to do something against Michigan. How much? We don't know. I mean, I expect Michigan to win this game, but like I said, when you look at the stats, they're 32 first downs to 6 first downs. Time of possession, let me find that real quick because I'm sure 35-21 to 24-39. I mean, without even watching this game on film, you know that Air Force scored probably on every single drive. And just it was a video game for the Falcons. I don't expect that to be the case against Michigan, but and we'll break down who to watch and that kind of thing. But like I said, just third down, 7 of 10, they only had one fourth down, and they were 1 for 1 on that. So we're looking at an offense that can click. We're looking at an offense that can score. We're looking at an offense that can drive the field. So box score wise, yes, 62-0, kind of impressive. But like I said, you do have to take into account the level of competition. But at the same time, anybody who thinks that this is going to be an easy game for Michigan, I think is mistaken. And what is the spread now? I think it's like 26 points, 25. I think that might be a little bit misleading because I do think this is going to be somewhat, I don't want to say a close game. I do think maybe first half close. It's one of those and maybe Michigan mid-third quarter pulls away. Maybe it's a little bit reminiscent of Cincinnati. I mean, the Bearcats hung around for a little bit. So I don't think this is going to be a game where Michigan just easily puts away Air Force. I really don't.
I agree. And I think the big thing, you know, obviously Michigan fans are a little familiar with Air Force, at least in comparison to some of the other service academies. Considering the Wolverines played them, I guess, 5 years ago now. Time flies. But, you know, certainly in the recent history and fans kind of get an idea of how Air Force's games go. And I think the big thing as far as, you know, is this going to get out of hand, things of that nature. It's really hard to run up the score on a team like this, you know, that holds the ball for so long, that keeps drives going, that just eats up clock. I mean, frankly, unless Michigan's scoring in two plays every drive, which – you know, we just talked about some of the offensive issues, so I'm not anticipating that. I think it's going to be relatively competitive. Maybe, you know, a couple people are moving around in the stands a little uncomfortable. And, you know, to put that rushing attack into a little context here, you know, on our either our last one or before that, I was talking about Bill Conley from SB Nation. He does, they're called S&P ratings. They're kind of like KenPom for, except his are for college football. They're far from perfect, especially in week three here. Well, I guess week 3.5, a couple teams played in that week zero or whatever people call it. But this is where he has Air Force right now. Rushing success rate, number one in the country. Rushing ISO PPP, number one in the country. Power success rate, number one in the country. And he has them number one in the country in offensive efficiency and also finishing drives. So this is a team that gets the ball, they hold it, and they're going to keep moving forward. I think, Michigan fan, where you maybe take a little solace, you know, Air Force not as good in the passing game, and their defense is not certainly not elite. I think they come in at in again. This is S&P, so sort of the KenPom defensive ratings, 119th in the country right now. Again, flawed stats, you know, this early in the season. But I think that tells a story. I would expect Michigan's probably going to be able to move the ball. Maybe it did against Florida, maybe against Cincinnati. But the defense is going to have its hands full. But if they can get off the field and get stops, I think they're in good shape. And I'm really interested to see whether Michigan brings out that three-man front more that they used against Florida versus the four-man front against Cincinnati. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, that makes sense. Space it out a little bit. I mean, you'll still be able to apply pressure with a three-man front and depending on, you know, the way that they use Khalil Cutsen. I think Khalil Cutsen is going to be maybe the most important player on defense this week, just because, and we've talked about this before, how much ground that he covers. He's versatile. And when you look at the Viper position, Don Brown has said it, you know, other players have said it. I think Jim Harbaugh has even referenced it, that the Viper position is the most demanding position in Don Brown's defense. So I think Kalik Hudson's going to get himself a workout, if anything, Saturday. And Thompson, I wanted to bring up a quick stat. VMI had 95 total yards against Air Force. 55 of those came on the ground. So, and you know, we're talking about ratings and everything. It's based on one game for Air Force. And yeah, it's VMI, but 62-0. And I mean, one fourth down again, not to repeat ourselves here, but there are, you look at Air Force in week one, and it had about as dominant performance as you can ask for. So that's another thing that I'm thinking, this is a really big game for them. Jim Harbaugh in the teleconference was saying that, you know, Michigan's all locked in on Air Force, focus is there, you know, so on and so forth. And it should be, because this, for Air Force, look at their schedule. Michigan is the game on its schedule coming to Ann Arbor. Like I said, don't expect a pushover at all. I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say about it. Don't expect Air Force is going to do, like I said, Air Force is going to do something against Michigan.
Yeah, and to put this in a little context too, you know, going back to last year, and obviously, you know, talking about service academy teams year to year is much different than your typical college football team, you know, considering they don't have necessarily players going to the NFL or something like that. It's just a different animal. But Air Force went 10-3 last year, 5-3 in their conference. They beat some decent teams. They held up pretty well. They certainly lost some frustrating games as well. But I mean, last November, you know, they beat Boise State. They won their final six games of the season. So I think people do need to, they also beat Navy as well. You know, again, not to get too off track with the service academies here, but Navy's been a pretty good program over the last 5-6 years. So I think this is a quality program that's had success year after year. And it's going to be a different animal. I mean, for anyone who watched that Tennessee-Georgia Tech game on the opening weekend, Tennessee had no answer. They had no ability to stop Georgia Tech's option offense. Mm-hmm. I will say that Michigan's defense probably better than Tennessee's. At least that's how it looks on paper. But I think it's going to be a handful. I expect a competitive game. But I'm with you. I think Michigan ends up winning in the double digits, but I would not be shocked if we're in the third quarter and it's a single possession game.
I think I'll at least try to float a prediction at the end of the game, or at the end of the podcast rather, for the game Saturday. Since Troy Calhoun took over at Air Force in 2007, they've been to a bowl game every single year except for 2013. Wow. That's another thing that when you mentioned, yeah, Air Force has had some success. I mean, it's not, again, I mean, I know I think it's easy for people to look at the schedule and go, okay, Cincinnati, that's a win. And I thought it was going to be a much easier win, and still was a win. You look at Air Force, okay, that's a win. But Air Force, I think, like you mentioned, it's going to be an early season test. And a couple people had mentioned on the podcast earlier, they were asking questions. I had some questions on Twitter. How does this kind of affect them going in? They're going on the road next to Purdue, too. So, I mean, I think there are a few things that you could take away from this game in terms of what you want to see out of a defense, what you want to see out of younger players. I'm going to ask you right now, what do you need to see out of Wilton Spate Saturday against Air Force?
You know, as we talked about on Sunday, I think his decision making has been good this season. I think he's been good in the pocket, you know, pocket presence. I think he hasn't made a lot of mental mistakes in my mind, which may sound a little weird, but I think it's the small stuff, you know, hitting the guys who are open in stride, you know, footwork, you know, not fumbling handoffs. Things like that, because really if he cleans up a couple of those overthrows, doesn't fumble, I mean, last week's game probably isn't close at all. I thought otherwise. He played relatively well, except for those issues, which, again, you know, turnovers are pretty substantial. So I don't want to pretend like those aren't significant. But I think the big thing is you know, consistency, play to play. And the other thing, too, that I think is we're only two games in, but is a little bit of a growing concern for me is I think the red zone offense has been relatively underwhelming so far this season. And part of that's due to turnovers. But, you know, with Khalid Hill and the tight ends they have, I think they should be a really good red zone offense. And I think that's something I'm looking for, those two things. You know, if Spate can clean up his play a little bit and then the red zone offense takes a step forward.
We actually have a couple questions from Twitter. At CJ Rockford wants to know, any chance we try out a different punter, Nordine or Robbins, this week after a subpar game for Hart last week? At Mr. M. Sider wants to know, do we see Spate fix his footwork and become the elite quarterback we saw early last season? I'll start with CJ's. I think they're probably riding out with Will Hart, but, and this is something that sticks with me, since Jim Harbaugh mentioned it, I believe it was during Big Ten Media Days, that Brad Robbins was really impressive. He basically said Brad Robbins was the real deal. So I'm not saying that we're going to see Brad Robbins Saturday. If for some reason, I don't think they'll use Quinn. I think it'll be Brad. If for some reason Will Hart struggles, but again, we're talking about a game where Will may not get a whole lot of punt opportunities. Like I just said that I've expected to be competitive, but I do think that Michigan controls a ton of this game. I don't think it's going to be, you know, I don't think we see maybe more than two punts from Will Hart, if that, two punts this game, maybe. But to answer your question, CJ, any chance we try a different punter, Nordine or Robbins, this week after a subpar game from Hart last week? I would say very unlikely. Mr. M. Sider, do we see Spate fix his footwork and become the elite quarterback we saw early last season? I think so, in parentheses. Which is funny, Thomas, to hear. And I don't know Mr. M. Sider's full stance on Spate, so I don't know. But to mention Spate and elite in the same right now, in the same comment, because, I mean, I feel like people are just forgot everything that Wilton did last year. Another interesting.
He's the worst quarterback of all time, according to Twitter. So,
hey, and Jalen Taylor, a regular follower, viewer, listener, he mentioned this too. Five points, right? Three losses, 5 points combined. So we're talking about Wilton Spate, Thomas. I don't know if you saw this when I tweeted it, but we're talking about Wilton Spate being 6 points away from being a 14-0 starter.
Wow. Yeah, that's that's a pretty crazy thought.
And people still don't want him as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if he can clean up that small stuff, and I mean, I understand. I don't know if he'll ever be anywhere close to a top tier NFL quarterback or anything like that. But I mean, if he can hit some of those simple throws, which we've seen him hit plenty of times, I think he can lead Michigan to a lot of wins. I'll put it that way.
I mean, he's the guy. Harbaugh has full confidence in him, and I guess if anybody wants to get into other layers of the Wilton Spate discussion, other than just saying that Wilton Spate sucks or whatever they want to say, I'll entertain it. But you have to come with facts, and I'm telling you, Thomas, there is no fact. There is nothing factual. There are no numbers. There is nothing that goes against Wilton. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I mean, that's other than, okay, yeah, there's some accuracy issues. We've seen that. But, I mean, statistically, factually, the fact that Jim Harbaugh has basically he's fully endorsed him several times. On Monday, he pretty much put an end to it. He said, Wilton Spate is starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's it. So if any of you guys out there watching on the YouTube live stream, if you have any more questions about Air Force Michigan, I do want to go over just a few stats so you know who's who. Quarterback, Arian Werthmann, so far this season, he's 8 out of 12 passing, 172 yards at 66.7% completion. Yards per attempt, 14.33, so he does like to throw a little bit. at least based on the VMI game. He's got a long of 57, two touchdowns, been sacked twice. The QB rating, we don't care about that. They're just numbers. You need the completions rushing. He's rushed 11 times this year, too. So he is a threat to take off. And they had, and I don't want to make any jokes about it because it's not, they have a running back named Timothy McVeigh.
Interesting.
If anybody cares to Google that.
A lot of odd.
I mean, you're old enough, Thomas, right? You remember that, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Very unfortunate. And someone pointed out to me on Twitter that he was, and it was it's actually Brian Peterson. I like following him at Real BJP, born just a few weeks before the Oklahoma City bombing.
Wow.
I mean, damn, right? How unfortunate is that?
Yeah, so, bad luck for a name.
It is. So let me see. McVeigh, he rushed for, I think he had like 10 carries. I'm trying to bring up these stats here. 10 carries for 98 yards and a touchdown. He also had three catches for 77 yards. So basically, I don't want to discount you guys like we did with Cincinnati. We're like, oh, we don't even need to preview Cincinnati. It's like Hayden Moore, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I think the two big names to watch are going to be Worthman and McVeigh.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I can't tell you a whole lot about their personnel. I don't know. I mean, we could go through the roster. I can look up some stats. Maybe I'll do that tonight, and I'll talk about it tomorrow morning. But prediction-wise, I do think this is a game that Michigan wins, probably 31-13, 28-13, okay, in that range.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be over 10. It's going to be two possessions. I think when you look back overall, you're going to go, oh, that was a solid performance. But I don't think it's ever going to feel like they're running off the field with an easy win. And frankly, I wouldn't expect that. This team generally puts up a lot better fight than that. I will say one thing, though, that I know has been discussed is that I think Don Brown is going to be very prepared for this triple option offense. I remember him talking about it in the spring, you know, installing some stuff, trying to get ready for Air Force. And, you know, I don't want to speculate as to what they did or didn't do the last time Air Force came in, but it seems like there's a little more forethought about the unique style of offense here. So I think maybe that'll give them a little bit of an extra edge versus the last time that Air Force came into Ann Arbor in 2012. But Adam, I did, while I have you on here, I did want to ask you a couple things. Now, obviously, for the local fans, the Michigan game is going to be the big highlight of the weekend. You know, Michigan State, they're off on the bye week before the Fighting Irish come to town. But are there any games that have popped out to you about this weekend or anything generally since, again, you know, Michigan State's off? You know, Tennessee is facing off against Florida this week, Wisconsin at BYU. The big game is Louisville Clemson. Anything you're looking forward to or hoping to see this weekend?
I'm kind of interested in Wisconsin BYU because, I mean, what? Who lost last week out of the Big Ten and non-conference? Northwestern, mm-hmm. Rutgers. I mean, we figured Rutgers was going to lose. Good job, Rutgers. Eastern Michigan and I'm not discounting Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan had a pretty good year last year, but I mean, still, mm-hmm. This is Big Ten versus MAC. And I mean, I'm kind of tunnel vision right now, Thomas, when it comes to college football season, really with Michigan. But I mean, a week from the Saturday, Notre Dame, Michigan State, I'll be in East Lansing for that game. Michigan will be on the road. So that, I mean, regardless of your fandom, I know the majority of people that watch the show are Michigan fans, but Notre Dame and Michigan State is one of the, at least if you don't want to call it one of the rivalries in college football, you have to call it at least one of the regional rivalries. You know, when we talk about Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan State, Notre Dame, those are the big ones for me. So this is a huge game, and Mark D'Antonio gave me, you know, some great responses during the conference call. This week is important in general for Michigan State, recruiting, academics. There's a lot of things are going on behind the scenes, but at the same time, it's going to be a busy week of practice. You know what? If Michigan is the one Ohio State, maybe. I feel like Michigan State, Ohio State's kind of created a little bit of a rivalry, at least in the past, 6 years or so.
Yeah.
Because it seems like, Big Ten supremacy runs through either Columbus or East Lansing lately. But Michigan State for me is it. Michigan State, Notre Dame is number two for me. So it'll be fun to go out there and cover that game. And like I said, it'll be a big one for Brian Lewerke. It's going to be a big one for Michigan State in general. And
absolutely.
Last year we saw Michigan State go to South Bend and beat Notre Dame. And it gave some, maybe a couple of hints like, hey, is maybe they'll have an okay season. And that was before the wheels fall off. I think that this game can serve the same kind of purpose for them this year. If they beat Notre Dame, I can't imagine that they're any higher level of confidence, any higher level, especially based on how they perform, but just kind of, like a bravado, a confidence. You coming off of 3-9, you're 2-0 right now, have a good bye week, practice strong, all that stuff, beat Notre Dame. I think Michigan State will be, sitting pretty after that, mm-hmm. at least internally.
Yeah, and I would just add, to start off with, I think a lot of Michigan fans, I don't think realize this, but Michigan State and Notre Dame has a far longer history as a rivalry than Michigan.
Oh, yeah, 1897.
Yeah, and if you look at, the number of games played in comparison to the two rivalries, it's not even – and I'm referring to Michigan-Notre Dame and Michigan State-Notre Dame. They're not even close. MSU-Notre Dame have played so many more times. So I think that rivalry gets overlooked a little bit by some of the other people. But, I think as well, for the Spartans, clearly after this bye week, very, very important stretch of the season. I think they can come out looking pretty and looking like last year was a fluke. Or, maybe they get knocked back down a little bit and have some regrouping to do. So it should be very interesting because I believe it's Iowa and Michigan, right, after Notre Dame?
I think so in terms of most games played. Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm the schedule for this year. I was gonna say I'm pretty sure it's sorry, I probably should have this up already. but I believe it. Yeah, Notre Dame at home, which will be next Saturday after the bye week this week. Then it's Iowa at home, followed by the road trip to Michigan. So, if they come out of that Notre Dame game with some momentum, maybe they can take care of Iowa and then head into Ann Arbor for what should be a – if they won those next two, they'd probably be ranked, I would think, or close to it. So maybe another ranked Michigan State game, which would be really fun.
That'd be good for the rivalry. And Brian Lewerke's played pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think you have to pay a little bit of attention to him. I'll end it on this. Earlier I was asked, at the end of the season, who do you think, projecting right now, who's the better quarterback, Wilton Spate or Brian Lewerke? I'll still go with Wilton, but based on what we've seen right now, because I think the potential of the ceiling, whatever you want to call it, for Wilton is higher than what it is right now for Brian at Michigan State. But Brian Lewerke's played pretty well. 61-yard rushing touchdown against Western Michigan. Completed 35 of 54 passes for 61.4%. Four touchdowns and an interception. I just wrote about him, so that's why I'm rattling off this stuff. It's right on my mind right now. But I want to thank everybody for watching the live stream tonight here on the YouTube channel for Sports and the Men. Subscribe to my personal channel, Adam Biggers. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow us, Thomas and myself, Sports and the Mitten, at Mitten Sports MI. You can search us on Facebook, Sports and the Mitten. You can find us on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. And you can also follow Thomas on Twitter.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at TBendit. You can also read my Big Ten Hoop stuff at BT Powerhouse, or I should say SB Nation's BT Powerhouse. So stay tuned. A lot coming here. We're just a couple weeks away from the preview stuff starting to drop.
Yeah, we'll start talking some Michigan State, Michigan basketball. This is big. Michigan State preseason number one. I think the Wolverines are going to be really good with Mo Wagner. I know the loss of DJ Wilson, whatever. We didn't even see the peak of DJ Wilson. I think we're going to, and this is kind of with the Jabril Kalik thing. It's not a direct comparison, but we saw a really good player. We didn't see all of him. I think we're going to see all of Kalik at Michigan on the football side. We didn't see all of DJ Wilson at Michigan. We saw some glimpses. I think we're going to see all of Mo Wagner, at least the college version of Mo Wagner. So two really big seasons for both programs. It's going to be exciting. And how, I mean, how lucky are we just as, you know, as media covering, we get two of the premier coaches in college football with Jim Harbaugh and Mark D'Antonio. We get two of the premier coaches in college basketball with Tom Izzo and John Beilein. It's a really good time right now, I think, if you're covering Michigan or Michigan State, in my eyes. So I want to thank everybody for watching. Again, I'm Adam. He's Thomas. We're Sports in the Mitten. We'll catch you guys next time.